A few months ago, as the impact of COVID-19 began to reach Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley, we heard from Dr. Mukta Panda. She is a professor and assistant dean for well-being and medical student education at the University of Tennessee College of Medicine at Chattanooga. Her recent book is Resilient Threads, Weaving Joy and Meaning into Well-Being. I spoke with her the other day.
Dr. Panda, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ray. Thanks for having me.
It's been a few months since we last spoke, and a lot has happened. What are you thinking about right now with all that you have seen firsthand?
Well, just as I wrote in my latest blog over the weekend, it's been very hard to concentrate, and the title of my blog was, "It's Okay to Be in a Funk. It's Okay for Your Mind Not to Focus and Just Be." Because there are so many thoughts going on, and the overclouding of those thoughts are really influenced by the external environment currently and my own personal questioning of how I want to show up as my authentic self in this environment, and how can I allow for others to show up authentically. And I'm beginning to realize that is really so important. I've always been sort of the mindset that it is only when we can connect who we are with our intrinsic values and intrinsic motivation and work and exist in an environment that supports that, embraces it, and provides the safety for that, that we thrive. And just not having that is one of the main factors, external factors for burnout. And as I am looking at what is happening around the world as it relates to the pandemic of the COVID-19 virus, which in so many ways was an equalizer, and that was my hope, that we would actually embrace this as humanity to come together when I wrote the poem New Normal. However, I'm also hyper aware within our own community of Chattanooga how the different populations have been impacted. The outcomes are different of this virus. And that also dovetails into the other epidemic that is raging within our own country, the one that is calling for a just culture, for equality, and really the end of racism in any way and form that it exists. Thinking about what is freedom, what does that word freedom mean, it's really got me thinking about what does it mean for me? What does it mean for the people around me, and what is my role to ensure that? And the more I think about it, I'm reminded of the importance of safety. And I'm speaking specifically here about the need to feel safe in a space where our voice can be heard. And we are aware of the voices that are not heard. A safety is where we can feel that we can have a conversation without being judged, without being rebuked, without our job on the line, without our judgment, where we treat each other with the simple humanity. And I'm always reminded, and I have to remind myself of that touchstone. When things don't seem right, when your body tells you that something is, you're getting on the defensive, turn to curiosity, turn to wonder. And how can we even begin to do that? And I think it's going to start by getting to know the person. I am a chair of a committee. It's a national well-being committee. And we had a Zoom call the other day, and I've been chairing this committee for 2 years, and wonderful people, and we all are very understanding of the need for humanistic values to be uplifted. But we were also reminded of the lack of the voices in our group. And I think we started off with such a healthy dialogue, noting that as an omission, and then turning to, okay, why are these omissions? What were our blind spots? And that got me thinking, what are my blind spots? Where have I been a bystander that I could have made a difference and been an upstander and said something about things? Because I truly think inaction is many times how inequality, unjust cultures, and racism shows up in institutions by just not saying anything. And that's what I mean when I say giving voice. So when I think about resilience today in these two pandemics, my understanding has really changed. I think it means different things to different people. But to me, it is an individual experience to be meaningful. It has to be experienced. And that resilience, opposite of resilience to me today, is powerlessness or helplessness. So to me personally, what am I going to do about trying to unpack what is freedom and this feeling of not being free? I think it's really going to start with myself. And that is going to be to try to really practice that human kindness or acknowledge another person to find out more about them and their voice, and to make sure that I reframe that conversation when I talk to people. So for example, I was today in a meeting and we've had new members come as new students, and there were some people from different nationalities who are born and brought up in America, and one of them had a different name, which was difficult to pronounce. And as we were going around, one of them asked, "Hey, how do you pronounce your name? I don't want to butcher it." And I felt my body cringe a little bit. Perhaps a few weeks ago, I would have just sort of forgotten about it or just, you know, not paid too much attention. After I sat with that a little bit, I sort of took that as an opportunity. And when nobody was there and we were by ourselves, I talked to this person and I said, "You know, hey, I know you were really had a great intent to make sure that you pronounce the name correctly. How about asking them, tell me a little bit about the origin of your name? That way you got to know the person. And maybe it wouldn't have come off being a little bit harsh when you said, I don't want to butcher your name." So that's what I mean when I say reframing conversations. The other thing is I'm going to intentionally try to get to know the other person's story. Where are you from? What is your legacy? There is a facilitation exercise that I do with students, and it's called Where Are You From? And it's a little poem that you write, and you do a reflective exercise where you think about where are you from? What are the things that are packed away in your memory about where you grew up, whether that was with a family that was biologic or a non-biologic family, but where is that? Then what do you have packed away in your chest of drawers that you go back to your happy place when you feel down? And then we talk about it together. And I think that is where you learn about what is that person's safety, and you get to share yours. And then we realize that irrespective of our country of origin, irrespective of the name, irrespective of our gender, irrespective of our lifestyle, irrespective of the pigment of our skin, we are more similar than we are different. And if we start getting to know people and where they come from, we can create a container of belonging that will feel safe. So this is the growth mindset of turning to create just culture. I am also so proud of the students all together, the University of Tennessee Health Science Center students, some of them in two groups of the Gold Humanism Honor Society and the SNMA have gotten together, and they've created a longitudinal series which they have every Sunday, and it's called Uncomfortable Conversations. And they are using the concept of a third thing, which I so value. And a third thing is something that sparks conversation around a united concern, a united goal, but it takes off the focus of you and me. That could come in the form of a poem, that could come in the form of a video clip, that could come in the form of a quote, it could come in the form of the movie. The first day they used a TED Talk by Peggy McIntosh, where she talks about the backpack of white privilege. And we had a small group discussions around questions. The next time they used the documentary, The 13th. This Sunday, we unpacked the film by Bryan Stevenson, The Just Mercy. And I think this awareness in safe spaces unites us around a community that creates a sacred space of belonging. And to me, I think resilience is when you can tap into these resources for yourself and with a community of like-minded people.
And in order to do that, it's not only about asking, it's about listening, it's about sharing.
It is much more about sharing and listening. Thank you so much for lifting that up, Ray. You know, I always say that silence should always have a chair at every meeting. Silence has to have a chair at the table. And if you think about it, if you look at the word silent, we are so uncomfortable with being silent. But what is the sister word of silent? Listen. They're the same, silent and listen. Think about it. In silence, the first thing to combat any racism or inequality is an inner dialogue, inner listening to yourself. We all have our biases. We all have our blind spots. That inner dialogue needs to start with ourselves, with courage, and then listening to others. So you're absolutely right.
And the work that you talk about, this is work that is ongoing, and it's beyond any one conversation or series of conversations or moment in time. This is ongoing.
Absolutely. It is something that has not happened suddenly. It has taken years, and the work is ongoing for personal self and for communities. The first thing has to start with an acknowledgement that the work needs to happen, and not doing the work is not acceptable. Start with that acknowledgement, that awareness that there needs to be this work. And, you know, I have had conversations and I have some wonderful friends, and we are able to talk about differences. And we have all expressed one emotion, that we are tired. And I share a personal story in my book, Ray. When I first came to Chattanooga, Tennessee, there was obviously different standards for graduates in the United States and different standards for graduates like me who came from international medical schools. And my modus operandi at that point was, because for family reasons, I had to stay in Chattanooga and I wanted to succeed in this particular residency. So it was, put your head down, bury your head, don't make any waves, and just go ahead and do your work. Of course, we had leadership change, and the leadership change really created a much more embracing culture where people like talking about safety. I felt safe. And I was very surprised to be offered a faculty position in the same department. And I love education, so it was a perfect, perfect opportunity for me. And a few months into being a faculty, I was invited to so many committees, being on different committees. And I mean, it felt good. And 4, 5, 6 months later, I was talking to my parents in India. And as I was talking to them, I suddenly realized I fit a quota. I was a token. And that was eye-opening, you know. There was different mixed emotions. There was a little bit of anger. There was a little bit of sadness, because sort of felt, oh my, I'm always going to have to prove myself extra. I'll never be taken on my merit. And as I talked openly about this, as I spoke about it openly to others, the same sentiment has been expressed by everybody. And the way we are, who feel that they are either international medical graduates or they feel that they are in some way different. So the one way that we try to express that and change that conversation is lifting up the value people bring to a committee. Not because we are filling a quota that we have to have representation. What are the values? What added value do we have? And so as I was talking to some of my colleagues recently through this group in CHARM, one person of color said, you know what, it looks like now suddenly I've become an expert in talking about racism. I've got so many invitations to come and talk. I'm exhausted. She said, you know, I know why they're asking me to do it. Another one said, what would you like to see happen? And they said, just sit down, come and talk to me. Ask me about who I am, where I'm from. Ask me what do I like. Get to know me a little bit more. I think that comes back to that same human value of listening, like you said, and getting to know a person. What is your story? Here is my story. So simple.
And the stories continue as we continue to listen and as we continue to share.
Yeah. Yep.
Dr. Panda, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ray.